content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various internet, email, and online sources. First up, from our own NC Reading Service, North Carolina Reading Service Newsletter, November 2025. Inside this edition, Holiday Open House, Pancake Jamboree, Cell Phones in the Studio, and General Reminders. I won't be reading those last two. You are invited to the NCRS Holiday Open House, December 8th through 12th, 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., North Carolina Reading Service Offices, 211 East Six Forks Road, Raleigh. Please let us know which date you will attend by December 5th. Email Tara at ncreadingservice.org or call us at 919-832-5138. Two upcoming local events from our community partners. Durham Lions Club Pancake Jamboree. The Durham Lions Club invites you to enjoy a pancake breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or all three, on Veterans Day. Well, that ended. GMS Season of Giving Fundraiser. The Governor Moorhead Foundation presents Season of Giving, Building Community, Creating Opportunity. November 6th, that has also passed. Transfer Cow Food Hall. The Governor Moorhead Foundation invites you to be part of a powerful mission, opening doors of opportunity for blind and visually impaired youth across all 100 counties of North Carolina. For more than 175 years, the Governor Moorhead School for the Blind in Raleigh has been a place where students not only learn academics, but also gain confidence, independence, and life-changing experiences. Today, the foundation continues that legacy by funding education, equipment, technology, enrichment programs, and unforgettable experiences that empower students to thrive in every aspect of life. This fundraiser isn't just an event, it's your chance to help unlock potential. Whether it's providing adaptive technology for a classroom, supporting employment training opportunities, ensuring every student can explore the world beyond campus, music equipment, or even a custom accessible outdoor learning center, check out our page about this project through our menu at the top of the page. Your presence makes it possible. Expect an evening filled with inspiration, community, and purpose, and know that every dollar raised goes directly to support students who deserve the same opportunities as their peers across North Carolina. There was a silent auction, a dinner, a bar, music, and community. And I'm sorry I missed it because I didn't know about it. From ATIA.org. ATIA 2026, January 29 to 31, Orlando, Florida, and virtual. There's something special about the assistive technology community coming together, and we cannot wait to gather again to re-energize and learn at ATIA 2026. The ATIA conference offers flexible tiers, fees, and a group discount. Multiple registration packages, including in-person and virtual, are available, allowing you to select the registration option that works best for you at the hot link. Register as an attendee. In-person only. In-person and virtual. Event bundle. Virtual event only. Those three hot links will take you to those registrations. Exhibit hall only. Free virtual event. Free bundle. Register as an exhibitor. Exhibitor registration portal. Those are all additional hot links. Register as a speaker at that hot link. Four ways to register. Online. Register online by clicking the appropriate button above. Email, send your completed registration form to registration@atia.org. Telephone, call us at 847-620-4471. Mail, send your completed registration form to ATIA Registration, A324 Solutions Center, Chicago, Illinois, 60677-8003. Click the link below for the in-person registration form PDF. Click the link below for the virtual event registration form PDF. From the American Foundation for the Blind, introducing the 2026 Helen Keller Achievement Award honorees. The American Foundation for the Blind announces the 2026 recipients of the Helen Keller Achievement Awards. Social influencer and author Molly Burke, nationally recognized teacher and author Kathy Nemmer, and T-Mobile US Incorporated. These outstanding honorees who have made significant strides in expanding independence and opportunity for people who are blind, deafblind, and low vision will be recognized during AFB's annual celebration the evening of April 23rd at the prestigious Harvard Club in New York City. Each honoree has harnessed through their work Helen Keller's own spirit of inclusion of people with disabilities, and as we continue to move further into the digital age, their achievements demonstrate how Helen's contributions still reverberate a century after she joined AFB, said Eric Bridges, AFB President and CEO. Their collective works continue Keller's passion to create a world of endless possibilities across the globe. Both of this year's individual honorees are recognized for their steadfast advocacy to break down stereotypes and create a more positive attitude toward blindness. As a social influencer with millions of followers across her YouTube and Instagram channels, Molly Burke routinely creates content that pushes back against ableism, breaking down negative misconceptions about people who are blind. In September 2025, she published her memoir, Unseen, How I Lost My Vision and Found My Voice. Motivational speaker, writer, teacher, and pianist, Kathy Nemmer spent 29 years teaching English at Harrison Public High School in West Lafayette, Indiana. In 2015, she was recognized as Teacher of the Year for the state and was a national finalist that same year. It was there that she founded SEED, a mentoring program for new teachers, which earned her the Excellence in Leading and Learning Award from the state of Indiana in 2024. A published author, she has written two books, a nonfiction work celebrating the relationship between service dogs and their handlers, and a book of poems. Receiving the organizational award this year is T-Mobile US Incorporated, one of the world's leading telecommunications companies. Branded as the UN-carrier, T-Mobile places significant focus on customer service, and the accessibility team has made notable advancements in creating a more digitally accessible universe for smartphone users with disabilities. In recent years, they launched Magenta A11Y, a powerful toolkit for designers, developers, and testers. The site, which is free to access for all, is a valuable resource to ensure that digital content is accessible for all. Since 1994, the Helen Keller Achievement Award has recognized the finest thought leaders, changemakers, and performing artists committed to carrying on Keller's mission to create a world full and equal inclusion for people with disabilities. For over 40 years, Helen Keller was AFB's leading ambassador, inspiring millions worldwide as she demonstrated all that can be accomplished through determination and perseverance. AFB continues to honor Keller's legacy by recognizing exceptional individuals and organizations from industry, education, and the arts who have distinguished themselves in pursuit of expanding possibilities for those who are blind, deafblind, or have low vision. Past honorees include author and advocate Haben Girma, tech leader and entrepreneur Bernard Newcomb, chef Christine Ha, filmmaker Sean Levy, and performing artists Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder. Past organizational honorees include Mattel, Netflix, Comcast, and J.P. Morgan Chase. Founded in 1921, the American Foundation for the Blind creates equal opportunities and expands possibilities for people who are blind, deafblind, or have low vision through advocacy, thought leadership, and strategic partnerships. In addition to publishing the Journal of Visual Impairment and Blindness, JVIB, AFB is also the proud steward of the Helen Keller Archive, which is available on the AFB website at www.afb.org. This just in from NCRS. Happy Thanksgiving from your friends at NCRS. Our annual holiday open house is just a couple of weeks away, and we would love to celebrate the season with you. Please help us plan by letting us know what day you will attend the holiday open house. Please feel free to bring a friend. Monday, December 8th to Friday, December 12th, 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. RSVP to 919-832-5138, email Tara at ncreadingservice.org, or sign up in the cutting room at NCRS. We look forward to celebrating the season with you. NCRS thanks the Hillsdale Fund for their support. The Hillsdale Fund approved a grant for $15,000 to support the launch and maintenance of the new NCRS app, and for the replacement of unrepairable equipment. Though it is a work in progress, the NCRS app is now available for download in both Google Play and Apple App stores. Hashtag Giving Tuesday. Giving Tuesday is a movement to create an annual day of giving, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, to begin the holiday season. North Carolina Reading Service set a goal of $26,000 to keep us on track as we head into 2026. Consider making a contribution of $26, $260, $2,600, or any amount to help us reach this important financial goal. Together, we can transform our community. Help NC Reading Service reach its hashtag Giving Tuesday fundraising goal. There's a hot link for that. Governor Moorhead School Alumni Association upcoming safety seminars. On Saturday, December 13, 2025, between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., the Governor Moorhead School Alumni Association will be sponsoring two seminars related to first aid and home safety for persons with disabilities provided by certified instructors. The seminars will be held on the Governor Moorhead School's campus in the Weathers Hill Dining Hall, located at 329 Ash Avenue, Raleigh, North Carolina. Between these seminars, lunch will be provided to all registered attendees between 12 p.m. and 1 p.m. The two sessions will last for approximately 1.5 hours each, with a break for lunch at 12 p.m. Registration is only $5 and is required by December 10, 2025. All checks or money orders should be made payable to GMSAA and mailed to P.O. Box 61434 Raleigh, NC 27661, or you can register at gmsaiai.org using PayPal, making a donation with a note registration for December 13, 2025. Should you have any questions or need assistance, please call Dr. Ricky Scott at 919-673-8300 or email Ricky, R-I-C-K-Y, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, 09@gmail.com. From ACB.org, posted November 19th, statement from the Secretary of Education. On the afternoon of Tuesday, November 18th, the Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon, held a White House press briefing to discuss new changes to the Department of Education. A myriad of current programs under the department are being shifted to other federal agencies. For instance, elementary and secondary education, post-secondary education, and Indian Education Services will be shifted to other agencies. The Department of the Interior, the Department of Health and Human Services, and the Department of State will oversee pre-existing education-related programs. The Secretary explained that remaining services will be left to the guidance of the states. At this time, the Office of Special Education Programs, OSEP, remains under the purview of the Department of Education. ACB will watch carefully to see how things progress and impact students with disabilities. Scholarship applications for the 2026-2027 school year are now open. Posted November 6th, applications for the 2026-2027 school year are open and are available for online submission from Saturday, November 1, 2025 to Saturday, February 14, 2026, midnight. The American Council of the Blind's ACB scholarship program was established in 1982. The American Council of the Blind, ACB, in partnership with other organizations and individuals, offers educational scholarships ranging from $2,000 to $7,500 for entering freshmen, undergraduate, and graduate students, and those attending technical college. This program awards students with scholarships to help with post-secondary education financial needs, such as tuition, fees, room and board, and other additional costs associated with assistive technology. To be eligible for scholarships, applicants need to be legally blind, maintain a 3.0 GPA to be eligible for most scholarships, be a full-time student or a part-time student who works at least 32 hours per week, and be involved in their school and local community. Scholarships are awarded to students who attend post-secondary institutions in the United States. For more information on the scholarship program, check out our scholarship page at https://www.acb.org/scholarships. In 2025, ACB awarded over $111,400 in scholarships to 24 students. All interested candidates must register for an ACB account prior to submitting a scholarship application online. Once you have created an account with ACB, please log in, and then you can access the scholarship application from the link at the top of the site. Visit the link to create an account or log in at the hot button. Scholarship winners will experience firsthand ACB's National Conference and Convention in July, where you will meet other students who share the same life experiences, create lasting friendships, and network with individuals who understand what you are going through and can help you with your journey. There are also many sessions where you can learn about new technology and what is happening in our community. For more information on the National Conference and Convention, visit the convention page at https://www.acb.org/convention. For additional information, please contact the ACB office at 612-332-3242 or call 800-866-3242 or send an email to scholarships@acb.org. We look forward to receiving your application materials. Posted from HelenKeller.org. Progress, Priorities, and the Road Ahead, CSUN 2025. The 40th annual CSUN conference has officially concluded. While even those attending with sight didn't see much of the sun that week, the atmosphere was filled with positive energy, engaging presentations, innovative technology, and major updates to existing tools. CSUN conferences are known for their high level of enthusiasm, but awareness of the deaf-blind community and its unique needs continues to lag behind, in my opinion. I spent most of Wednesday through Friday of that week in the areas for exhibitors. A total of 120 vendors were listed in the directory, and I have included a small gathering of things I encountered which stood out the most to me as a deaf-blind individual and as a professional working with many others in the deaf-blind population. It would clearly take a book to write and cover all vendors, so I limit my scope to an article. I chose five. Before diving into the list, it's important to note that the inclusion of these vendors is not an official endorsement, neither by myself nor by Helen Keller Services. Many of the products featured have not yet launched commercially, and I had only limited time with each device, so these descriptions may not be fully comprehensive. Links to products are included should you wish to keep up with any of these products yourself. The Codecs from New Haptics. One of the devices of interest I encountered this year is from a Michigan-based company called New Haptics. Although they were at CSUN's 2024, the older version of the device I felt was three lines of Braille with 24 cells in each line. Fast forward to this year, and they are in the process of developing a four-line Braille display consisting of 32 cells on each line. Their focus is on text and text output for now, not tactile graphics. The Braille dots are driven by air from an attached compressor. The company indicated that this technology makes Braille more cost-effective without sacrificing the Braille feel and performance users have come to expect. The codec supports a USB-C port for connectivity, a USB-A port for file transfers, along with an SD card reader. The codecs can connect to Wi-Fi, 802.11ac/a/b/g/n, and has Bluetooth 5.1 BLE. The device also features an integrated touchpad for gesture recognition. This allows users, for example, to simply double-tap on the cell they wish to activate, and the cursor will move to that cell. This means the codecs does not need the conventional cursor routing buttons found on single-line displays. The touchpad also works well for opening apps, folders, files, selecting links on a web page, and more. Again, no need to lift your hands off the display, even to hit a cursor routing button. One of the challenges for multi-line devices such as this is that screen readers currently do not fully support them. New Haptics indicated that they will have support for JAWS upon launch, but that the process of screen reader integration is a work in progress. Speaking of progress, 2025 finds them almost ready to release the codecs. The cells feel sharper to me this year, and the refresh rate has improved as well. The consistency of the gesture for double-tapping to reroute the cursor was not very reliable last year, but it worked each time I tried it this time around. The final product, according to the New Haptics website, will measure 13.75 inches by 7.5 inches by 1.38 inches, 34.93 by 1905 by 3.5 centimeters, and weigh 4.4 pounds or 2 kilograms. The specifications for the compressor are still not available, although this is certainly a device intended for stationary use. I found that reading a couple of paragraphs was very comfortable, and that reading documents on the internal processor was able to keep up well with my reading speed. There are currently internal applications for file management, reading documents, and playing Wordle. It also has panning buttons and a Perkins-style keyboard with two spaces. The device is expected to ship in May 2025 and cost $9,999. As my hearing continues to decline, following my favorite sports events on the radio has become more difficult. Though I can use apps like Sports Alerts on my iPhone to track the text of what's going on, there is no way to track it in real time. One Court promises to change that with their haptic technology. This device uses haptic, vibration-based, feedback to mirror the action on the field or court. It is about the size of a tablet, but thicker, and it includes interchangeable overlays for different sports. The demo device at CSUN was quite thick, although I was informed that the devices currently at NBA stadiums are only a couple of inches thick. For example, the football overlay includes the outline of the field or court, yard lines for football, and the basketball version includes key points on the court. Different vibration patterns represent different types of action, giving real-time feedback through touch. If you want, there are also audio cues, which can be used to support the learning of the vibration patterns, or they can be used during live gameplay to help support the haptic feedback. I was able to connect my Roger On microphone to the device with a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack located on the side, but struggled to understand the speech due to my own hearing loss. As a person fully dependent on Braille, I could see myself using one hand to track the action with one court, while the other hand reads the text being sent to my Braille display paired to my iPhone with sports alerts. To learn the vibration patterns, there is a tutorial in audio form on the one court, but those in deafblind users entirely dependent on touch, there is currently no Braille support for the device. Further, there would be no way to check the scores of other games. There are also plans to introduce a home version of One Court. Though there is no talk of an app, this could be a good way for deafblind users to set their One Court devices to the game they wish without requiring direct Braille display support. As I noticed, it was possible to follow the game action with only the vibration patterns, but details such as the score and who did what were not readily available without the ability to hear. As a deafblind sports fan who is so close to having better access than I have ever had, I am very hopeful some way to interact with the home device to be possible without the need to hear. The home device is expected next year, and the price given was around the price of a smartphone. Either way, I'm excited about this possibility and hope full access will be extended to those without hearing. Dream Vision shows off a dream display. HelpTech, formerly known as HandyTech, is a German company that has manufactured Braille displays for more than 30 years. Their reseller in the United States is the Dream Vision Group. One of their unique selling points has always been active tactile control, which allows the user to continue reading without having to press a button to advance the display. They have continued to evolve with their latest available offering being the Activator Pro lineup. Though this is not a new device, it has continued to evolve since its release. The Activator Pro comes in 64 and 80 cell variants. It also has the aforementioned active tactile control, and I was impressed with this as a Braille workstation. One of the most interesting features is Active Split. This feature allows you to view two connected devices at once. From my perspective, this is a huge leap forward, since I can, for example, have half of the display showing me the contents of my PC and the other half my iPhone. As someone struggling to hear speech, this means that in a Zoom meeting, I can have the same display actively connected to both devices, receiving my captions and the Zoom meeting itself. Currently, if I wish to participate in a Zoom meeting, I have to change Bluetooth channels on my Braille display to the Zoom window and then raise my hand and shift back to the other device to read the captions. I once again have to shift back to the Zoom window to unmute my audio, say whatever I'm going to say, then mute and lower my hand before switching back to the captioning. Since both screens exist on the same device and are working in real time, this could dramatically increase a Braille user's productivity on Zoom meetings. While Zoom has its own version of captions, it is still quite difficult to read and navigate around them with a braille display. The user is not limited to an even split of their cells. It is also possible to configure the division as the user wishes. Finally, if the Bluetooth connection is of concern, the Activator Pros have a USB-C port on each side, so the user can choose a hardware connection if desired. In addition to the QWERTY keyboard, the Activator Pro models have other keys designated as F13 through F24. These keys can be used for other functions chosen by the user. It is also possible to drag and drop text from one connected device to the other through a feature called Braille Shot. What this allows, as an example, is for the user to take information out of a chat window on their iPhone and paste it onto their PC. The 64-cell option sells for $10,500, while the 80-cell model costs $12,700. There have also been updates to the Activator 40, a braille display with both the QWERTY and Perkins-style keyboard. Active Split is also available on that device with a firmware upgrade. Users will be able to update their Activators through the iOS app, as well as through the PC once this update is installed. Speaking of connecting, the new Smart Dock for iOS devices is now shipping with a USB-C port. If users who purchased the original Smart Dock wish to upgrade from Lightning to USB-C, there is a $200 charge. EchoVision from Agiga. Smart glasses are not new by any means. There are several products on the market which are wearables that can help describe what is in one's environment. While many people have apps on their smartphones, the fact is that many feel there's not a solution which is hand-free for blind users or one hand-free for deaf-blind users. While AI-based scene descriptions are nothing new for those who have vision loss, devices that specialize in working with those who have vision loss have been quite expensive. Agiga plans to offer a pair of smart glasses that not only look like standard sunglasses, but which are smarter than those of its predecessors. For example, the Meta smart glasses will summarize a menu based on the picture, whereas EchoVision will have the ability to read the entire document without having to ask the glasses in several different ways to do so. As someone with limited use of the Meta Ray-Ban smart glasses who argues with them on this task, that would be a very welcome change. These glasses will also offer the option of calling a visual interpreter slash volunteer like the Meta Ray-Ban smart glasses through Be My Eyes and Era. I make this comparison between EchoVision and the Meta Ray-Ban smart glasses as the Ray-Ban smart glasses, priced starting at $349, are the closest price point to what EchoVision will charge. I was able to have the demo of the EchoVision glasses and found the features I checked out to be very useful. The EchoVision glasses also can provide detailed descriptions of people. Another feature was continuous scene description. This allows the user to walk down the sidewalk and receive descriptions of objects and people nearby, as well as the general environment. For example, it would tell the user that there is grass off to their left, that someone is several feet away at their 2 o'clock position, and so forth. Unlike the Celeste glasses, which are no longer being developed and which frequently crashed. This was not my experience with EchoVision. The glasses were stable for the entire demonstration. It was neat to look around and understand things in my surroundings. My home is in a suburban location, and there is a lot of activity in the summertime, with birds, squirrels, the occasional fox, the obligatory barking dog, and many other happenings. I would really enjoy using the continuous scene description to find out what is going on in my yard. Well, that's it for this week's Vision News. I ran out of time. I hope you enjoyed reading, listening. Please join us next time. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.